You're listening to KCBX Central Coast Public Radio here on NPR One with KCBX News. I'm Greta Marr. This week, we're airing two recent studio interviews offering different perspectives on downtown San Luis Obispo. Lately, there's been a lot of civic conversation about the best path forward to nurture a vibrant, thriving downtown. First, we hear from a representative from a downtown SLO advocacy group, one that works to limit building heights, preserve the town's historic character, and encourage stricter zoning regulations.
My name is Alan Cooper, and I am associated with a group called Save Our Downtown.
And what is that group? Tell me about how it got formed.
Well, it got formed back in 2007, and it was a group of us getting together informally to discuss something that had just happened in 2007. February 6th, there was a vote by the council. It was 3-2. Two nays by Ellen Settle and Christine Mulholland, and three ayes, and it was to increase building heights downtown from 50 to 75 feet. Christine Mulholland went on record stating that she opposed this because there was lack of public participation in the process. And it occurred to us that that's what was happening in downtown. Things were changing rapidly, and the citizens of the city were not actively involved in what was going on downtown. And we have historically then been fighting tall buildings, and you can see that from what's happening downtown, we're not succeeding that well. However, our goal is to not only maintain 1-3-story historical character of downtown, but also to ensure that there is a place that is economically viable, that is livable, and is interesting. And so we have a mission statement that we put together, and we have a number of issues that have been addressed beyond the mission statement, such as what we're doing actively right now. And it's on a website called Save Our Downtown SLO. We are always working with a moving target. And that's not only turnover in the council, turnover on the advisory bodies, turnover even in the planning staff. And people come and go, and there isn't that much institutional memory. We try to maintain that, having been around 12 years. And we try to get groups of people up to 12, 15 to discuss issues and show up at meetings, write letters, et cetera, et cetera.
I see. Okay. And you recently wrote an op-ed that was published in the Tribune, and just kind of summarize for what did you say in that?
It's pushing us to think about how we can improve downtown. There are a lot of people thrown in the towel on downtown saying, well, such as Mayor Harmon, we have these monopoly capitalists called Amazon, and they are taking away business from our retail downtown, and that's a trend that's inevitable. Interestingly enough, 90% of all retail business still goes on in brick and mortar stores. And downtowns can remain viable, and they don't have to be strictly entertainment centers in order to be viable. So, for example, we are asking the city to go back to what they were doing about 15 years ago, which was to have a contract sponsored by the city to promote downtown shopping and downtown businesses. No one is doing that presently. We are asking the city to market retail that would be locally owned and locally sourced goods and services. We're asking the building owners, in lieu of lowering their rents, and by the way, the rents in San Luis Obispo on Higuera Street, for example, are equivalent to Union Street in San Francisco. And so aside from asking our building owners to please reduce the rents, we could ask them to consider subdividing the stores and make the smaller spaces more affordable for mom and pop stores or for locally sourced goods and services. We ask that there be a little bit of a let up on parking. We have a trend now where more and more buildings are being approved downtown without parking. Housing is being approved without parking. And where are we going to park our cars? And of course, the premise behind all this was that we will not have cars in the future. We will be bicycling. Or if we have cars, we'll be carpooling or we'll be on Uber. But in point in fact, I don't foresee a future where we will have less demand for car parking. Why? Because we will have a transition, if not with the Green New Deal, some other way, to electric cars. And electric cars will be cheaper and more convenient. course, there's the discussion about self-driving. And all of that, all of those cars need a place to park.
Right, and plus places to plug in and
Plug in and so forth. So, and interestingly enough, we have 23,000 people coming into San Luis Obispo who don't live in San Luis Obispo, working in San Luis Obispo. And where are they going to park their cars? We have approximately 2,700 overnight stays, motels and hotels. They don't come on bicycles. And we have hundreds of people coming overnight in Airbnbs. And then there's the shoppers, perhaps around 1,000 or 2,000 shoppers who come in, and they're going to come by cars. So the whole premise behind this is that we really do not want a reduction in parking, which has been already incorporated into our new zoning reg update. And that reduction is, it's one size fits all. We think that the hospitality developments and the commercial developments should be exempted from these parking reductions.
What so about forth. Building parking structures? Is that a... Is
Absolutely. That a... Interestingly enough, the city of San Luis Obispo, comparatively speaking, has a low in-lieu fee requirement. In other words, when you build a building and you don't put in a parking garage, you have to pay per space for each space that you're not providing a certain amount of money. Well, we're lowballing that number. We could be raising it significantly, which would make it easier for us to build more garages. We also should be purchasing parcels of land. And what we're trying to persuade the city to do is to put the parking garages where the demand is, not just put them where the city happens to own land. So with the in-lieu fee increases, the city could perhaps buy parcels of lands and build parking garages where they're needed. So I'm advocating, yes, for more parking downtown. We also talked about certain promotional strategies which the city or downtown SLO could undertake, and one of them was to have a free parking shopping day just to get people introduced to downtown. There are a lot of people who've never been downtown, and this would be one way to do that. And we've also had the idea of perhaps letting up on increasing penalties for long-term parking, or give credit card meters open-ended. Perhaps there's some complications there, open-ended options. Downtown desperately needs to encourage people to move into vacant stores. Presently, there are 7 vacant stores right downtown, in the core of downtown. And they remain vacant until they find the tenant that will pay the rent.
Right.
But in the meantime, and this is an enormous industry. Back in 2016, this industry had $10 billion in sales. It's called the pop-up industry.
Right.
And in the meantime, these property owners could be filling these spaces with pop-up stores. These are temporary leases. There's no significant long-term commitment in terms of their costs. And they can use the pop-up as a marketing tool, or just to test the market to find out whether their goods or services are desirable, and perhaps locate elsewhere after that period of time, based on that new information. But pop-ups are very, very popular. They started in Oakland, and we were pushing them 6, 7, 8 years ago, but it's still not happening. And part of it's because we just don't have what I consider advocates, true advocates, for the downtown business community.
What about Downtown SLO?
Downtown SLO is a useful organization, but their primary charge is to bring entertainment into downtown. And that takes up most of their time and resources. Their adjunct services are useful from the standpoint that if you come downtown for a concert or something, you might just incidentally walk past a store and buy something. But there is no Downtown SLO, the chamber, even our economic development manager who's employed by the city, none of those people are advocates for bringing more mom-and-pop stores or locally sourced goods and service stores into downtown. And not only that, but necessity goods. That's simply not happening. What tourism basically focuses on is more than just retail. It's, concerts in the park and theater and cultural and arts and all of those things, which we all need. But somewhere along the line, the issue of retail just falls through the cracks. And it isn't really being addressed as it used to be.
So what are some other of your ideas? What else would you like
well,
to see?
Well, we had years back, this is going back to 2012, I guess it was, we put together what was called a downtown pedestrian plan. And it was not a final document. It was a draft. And it, in some places, it was mere outline. But we gave it to the city. The city was very grateful for it and did nothing with it. And they have been making promises that they will eventually do a downtown pedestrian plan. But in the process, we discovered a number of things by doing some workshops, awareness walks. And what we found out is that the public wanted more mid-block pedestrian crossings. We have some, but we don't have enough. Mm-hmm. The public wanted wider sidewalks. They wanted not only bike-friendly, but dog-friendly downtown, if you will. They wanted more places to linger. They felt that the sidewalks were too cluttered, and they wanted street calming. What street calming is to slow down traffic. Traffic downtown not only is a hazard, but it's also noisy. And there were a lot of complaints about the noise generated by traffic.
So we're talking speed bumps or?
Exactly. I mean, there's many, they call them traffic circles. That's controversial. Traffic diverters, speed humps, landscaping, landscape tables. But all of that has been asked for by the public in general.
What about parklets, where they have a lot in the Bay Area?
They
where
do,
they've taken
yes.
parking spaces and turned them into little public
No
parklets.
Question about it. And you know, this was in response to the desire for more places to linger. People, you know, don't want to just go downtown and be on task and have to go to one store and the next and then leave. They are to have an opportunity to linger.
Okay, but that will take away parking spots.
Exactly. And so we really have to make sure that the net there is no net loss of parking. What we're dealing with right now are complaints from retailers saying, not necessarily the property owners, because they're the ones who are getting the rents and they don't care where those rents come from, but getting complaints from the retailers that there isn't enough parking downtown. And they're hearing it from their customers.
Was it anything in particular that prompted you to publish this op-ed right now? Is there anything on the horizon that is up for a vote?
Very timely right now to raise these issues because the Tribune has raised it. And why did they raise it? Because Mayor Harmon raised it with regards to Amazon.
Right.
Her original proposal was to stop shopping at Amazon and patronize our brick-and-mortar stores downtown. She means well by that. But she was interviewed a year ago in the Tribune, when there was discussion about too many restaurants. And she said, and this is a quote, if I can find it.
Mm-hmm.
She said that the city has no policy on who occupies these stores. No policy whatsoever.
And do you think there should be a policy?
Well, in fact, there is a policy.
Oh.
And it's called zoning.
Oh.
And this is something I wanted people to be reminded of, is that downtown is not open to funeral parlors or nurseries or car dealers or and the list can go on and on and on.
Oh, my.
It's very limited.
Or pot shops.
The city of San Luis Obispo has put some limitations on where cannabis dispensaries can be located. And so what we have here is a limitation on cannabis dispensaries. Why not also a limitation on the overconcentration of alcohol outlets, something we've been arguing for quite some time. Some cities do that. City of Orange, the City of La Palma, City of Vallejo do that. There are cities that have, like Pismo Beach, over-concentration ordinance on personal services. Elk Grove has an over-concentration ordinance on tattoo parlors. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
Okay. And you'd like to see fewer bars,
yes.
Fewer restaurants, and more retail.
And interestingly enough, you know, restaurants morph into bars. So we have that problem. And people say, well, how can you put a limitation on restaurants? But there are already precedents established. And the Tribune was excellent in making the observation that the city has maintained a laissez-faire, survival of the fittest attitude about what kinds of businesses will or should go downtown. And even the Tribune is saying we should take a more proactive role in ensuring a healthy mix of retail. Otherwise, we may end up with just an entertainment district, which is only active at night, and it becomes a dead zone in the daytime. Ironically, all of this is influenced by the demographic of San Luis Obispo.
So let's talk about that.
Well, the demographic is dominated by students, Cal Poly students, Cuesta College students. There are an enormous number of transient people also coming and going through the community. And so the residents are kind of not heard when it comes to what their preferences are or desires are for their downtown. And, you know, from a sheer political point of view, it's understandable. What really counts are the tax dollars that are coming from the tourists. What really counts is the support and tax dollars coming from the students. And so, you know, we try to have a voice as residents of San Luis Obispo, but we represent only about 40% of the population of San Luis Obispo. So it's an uphill battle.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you really want to convey at this time?
I would like to talk a little bit about tall buildings. And,
sure,
a very controversial issue because there are many people who say that it is sustainable, it is responsible to put high density in the middle of towns in order to discourage sprawl. Our situation is a little more complex because, in fact, we are doing both. We're putting in high density downtown, which is fine, but we're also sprawling. And so that kind of growth is not ideal. But the argument against tall buildings, and this is something that you can't really convince a Manhattanite or someone living in San Francisco to agree with this, that the argument against tall buildings is very practical. First of all, and you might want to note this, that downtown is in a floodplain, a serious floodplain. And there's even the possibility of mud flows in that part of the of downtown where the hills denuded of vegetation. So does it make sense to have high-rise or higher buildings in downtown in the event of a catastrophic flood, an earthquake, a breakdown in the availability of utilities? Then the question is also, downtown right now has access to sun, sky, views of hills. When you have clusters of tall buildings, you not only lose all that, but you end up with heat sinks, wind tunnels, downdrafts, acoustically live echo chambers. This is an environment the researchers have found that actually leads towards stress. And then there is also the pressure to relocate historic buildings once you have an open season on tall buildings, or even worse, demolition of historic buildings. Every time a tall building goes up, all the street trees go away. And we love the downtown street tree environment. Tall buildings have lengthened approval review periods and lengthened construction timelines. And all of that means that there are empty sites waiting for a building 5-6 years. The Foster Freeze site is an example of that. And that's not good for downtown to have empty properties down there. Then tall buildings inevitably lead to higher rents because you have to offset the costs of construction. The higher rents end up in marginalizing the lower income population that would otherwise live there. From a sustainability standpoint, tall buildings require elevators. That's an energy sieve. And tall buildings are generally built out of steel and concrete, which has a lot of embodied energy in it. Again, an argument against the sustainability of tall buildings. And finally, tall buildings, if they were to rely on rooftop photovoltaic panels, would not be able to reach net zero in terms of carbon emissions. The easiest way to do that is in a 2 or 3 story building because you have proportionally more roof space
right.
per square foot. So there's many arguments against tall buildings, and not to may leave out the most important reason, and that is the public generally want 1 to 3 story buildings downtown. In surveys, that's been emphasized over and over again. They want the small town ambiance. They want to, when they've been asked to identify an eyesore, they point to the government center because it's tall. So, I mean, there's a number of reasons why, from a political standpoint, you would argue for a low-rise downtown.
Well, thank you for coming in.
You're
and
so
if
welcome.
Anyone is interested in finding out more about your group, tell me again the website.
It's saveourdowntownslow.com. It's all all one word, SaveOurDowntownSlow.com. We also have a Facebook site. If you have Facebook, just go on your browser and type in, and these are three separate words, Save Our Downtown dash San Luis Obispo.
Got it.
You'll get on that Facebook website.
Okay. And are there any votes coming up that you're trying to rally people for?
Well, that's interesting. We have what's called a change.org survey.
Right.
And we have over 750 votes so far in support of an initiative to lower the height of buildings downtown.
Oh, okay.
And initiatives take time and money and people. And so there's a possibility we could do it in time for the 2020 elections, but if not, the 2022, that's catchy, all those twos in there.
Right.
And but the bottom line is that we are concerned about the building heights, and there are ways in which we can put restrictions on heights of buildings. It would be a way to also address objective standards that the state of California is asking for when we have proposals for housing, particularly affordable housing. Affordable housing gets a lot of free passes because of the demand the state has established for housing in general.
Right.
And if we have some lower height restrictions rather than the 75-foot height restriction, we won't see what we call by right housing projects going up 6, 7, 8 floors. And it's conceivable they could go up that high. So,
all right. Well, thank you very much for coming in. I really appreciate you speaking with me about this topic.
It was my pleasure. Thank you very much.
That was Alan Cooper of the group Save Our Downtown. The group meets every second and fourth Monday of the month at 3 p.m. at Petra Mediterranean Restaurant on Higuera Street in downtown SLO. Next, we check in with the CEO of Downtown SLO, the nonprofit formed in 1975 to promote a vibrant downtown. KCBX listeners have heard Bettina Swigger on our airwaves as a co-host of the music program KCBX in Concert. Since last October, though, Swigger has helmed the organization that coordinates the weekly Downtown Farmers Market, and Downtown SLO's mission is to support economic vitality.
Downtown SLO, the organization that I run, is the Business Improvement Association for all of the businesses that are in the downtown corridor. And our primary purpose is to provide marketing and events to invite people to come downtown, have an experience. So we hope they have a good time and that they stick around and they shop and they support a vital economy in the downtown core. So we work really closely with the city of San Luis Obispo. And recently we had a large success, which is that the city of SLO is putting together their 2019-2021 budget plan. And in their budget plan, they identify major goals. And downtown vitality has been identified as a major city goal for the next two-year budget plan for San Luis Obispo. So Downtown SLO, the organization, is working with our partners at the city to make sure that we're addressing the needs that our businesses are telling us they're seeing on the ground every single day.
Okay. And so when they say it's a goal, what does that mean? That means money?
It means money. It means staff time. It means attention. And it means that there's a platform now for some advocacy that hasn't existed in times before. Downtown vitality used to be considered another important objective. So some of it is just semantics, but we do know that the major city goals really require a lot of focus and time for staff and for council's attention.
Okay, got it. And just to go back, a business improvement district, how are you funded? Where do you get your money?
So we're a nonprofit 501c6 organization, and we have members. The majority of our members come through the business improvement district, which is a fee that is assessed by the city of SLO. And then that money comes over to us for us to do the purposes that are aligned in our contract with the city of SLO. We also have fees for earned services. So like we put on farmers market every Thursday night, and vendors pay a fee to participate in that program. And we also have sponsorships that we sell for some of our public events like Concerts in the Plaza, which is a 14-week concert series that takes place every Friday night in Mission Plaza during the summer months. So we have a mix of earned, contributed, and assessed funds that make up our annual budget. We employ 7 full-time staff, and we have a downtown office storefront and information space on Choro Street. So we have boots on the ground every day. We're interacting with the public, with the city, and with the business owners and property owners in downtown.
Okay, great. And so what are the things that you're hearing currently from business owners, the people that you serve?
Well, in this exact moment, a lot of people have really been affected by the weather, unfortunately, which is not the most easy thing to plan around when you're looking at strategic planning or policy making. But the rain has just driven people inside, and they don't want to necessarily wander around on the streets and go shopping when it's cold and rainy outside. So that's been a concern. But more than that, we're dealing with some issues around cleanliness and the safety in our downtown area. There's a lot of change happening. There is a bunch of turnover in some of the businesses, and there has been, I would say, a perception of some vacancies. There's always natural churn in the free market, right? Businesses come and go depending on whether they're successful and they can be profitable. We have 15 businesses that are new that have opened in the last 7 weeks alone. So there's a lot of new faces coming in and some new merchandise coming downtown. We hear a lot about the streets, the people who live on the streets. There is an issue with the homeless population, and that's representative of a larger problem in society where there's just more income inequality, and we're seeing the results of that play out on our city streets. There are some recent issues that have come down from the California State Supreme Court about ordinances, about not being able to enforce away the problem. So people are now permitted to sleep in areas where they before would not have been able to sleep. We've also had some aggressive panhandling issues going on, and we're working every day to try to get in front of that and communicate with social services and with the county, as well as with law enforcement, to make sure that we can get people the services that they need.
Okay. And just to dig a little deeper in that, what can you do? What does that mean to get in front of? What do you guys actually do?
So one of our full-time employees that I mentioned is an ambassador, and his job is every day he goes around on the street and he cleans things up. He removes stickers from property. He removes graffiti. He wipes down the trash cans, cleans up dead birds and other items that might be deposited on the sidewalk. And he interacts with all of the business owners, with people who are tourists on the street, and with our homeless population. A lot of the folks who we have come to know downtown know him. His name is Austin. He's a very friendly guy, and he wears a uniform, but he does not have a badge or a gun. So he's a trusted face that people can really come to see as a friendly face instead of trouble coming. And we know that building relationships and constant communication is really the way to demonstrate the effectiveness of community building. And Austin is the primary way that we do that. We also have a project underway to launch a property-based business improvement district, or a PBID, which would be an additional assessment on our property owners in the downtown that would give them a collective voice similar to what the business owners have now. If the PBID is successful, we will be deploying an additional 7 to 8 ambassadors who will be out on the streets 7 days a week, providing 300 plus hours of service a week out in the community, interacting with people who are maybe staying in the new hotels and want to find out about which restaurant to go to, or somebody who might be down on their luck and needs to be connected with a homeless shelter or with some other services.
What's the reaction you've had amongst property owners of this proposition?
In large part, the property owners have been supportive. We're in the petition phase right now, which means that the property owners themselves will have to vote on this. It's not a general election issue, but it is a self-assessment and it's self-governed. So we're in the petition process right now. If we get 51% of the total value of the assessment, then it will go forward to a ballot. The city of San Luis Obispo has provided us with a grant to do the feasibility study for this, and we've been working with a consultant that does this nationwide. So these PBIDs are not new. They're new to San Luis Obispo, but they're not new in general. There are more than 1,000 in North America, and there are more than 100 in California. The city of Los Angeles has more than 40 PBIDs just in their admittedly much larger metropolitan area. And from people I know who have lived in LA, they kind of know when you're in a PBID and you cross the street and you're not in a PBID anymore, you can physically see the difference.
This is from the op-ed that the Save Our Downtown published in the Tribune, one of their main concerns is about building heights. Do you have any kind of involvement with how tall buildings are downtown?
Well, that is ultimately up to the city, who has to adhere to the municipal code. So there are height restrictions in place currently, and Downtown SLO as an organization does not have any control or say over that. I'm not sure if that, over our 35-year history as an organization, we have ever come into that conversation. It certainly is in our best interests to maintain an environment that keeps that quaint and charming quality of life that makes downtown so special. So if there were somebody to come in and propose a, you know, 10, 15, 20-story building, I can see our businesses and our property owners rallying to get us to say something against that. But we do not have a stance on height ordinances currently.
Okay. Do you take stances on any other thing? Do you have any kind of advocacy role?
We do have an advocacy role. And in fact, the city looks to us quite frequently because we have that collective voice of the business owners. We have a number of committees that meet monthly. So we have a parking and access committee that is very popular, where people can talk about parking issues in the downtown, which, again, Downtown SLO as an organization doesn't control, because we don't run the parking meters or the parking structures. But we can certainly advocate for ways that the city could be more open to employing strategies that are going to be more beneficial to businesses.
Can we talk about that? Because that's one of their other points, is that they talked a lot about parking. I think they'd like the city to maybe invest in getting some properties and building some parking garages. I mean, what are your thoughts? How do you guys approach it?
Well, I will say that every single meeting I have, we talk about parking. It's an odd day where I don't spend at least 20% of my time talking about parking and access issues. And I actually think that this is a really wonderful problem for a downtown to have, because there have been other places I've lived in my life where people don't have a parking problem downtown because they don't go downtown. So we clearly have a demand for people to come downtown and enjoy our public spaces and our shops. I saw an interesting figure yesterday, actually. The Department of Public Works from the city shared a slide from a PowerPoint presentation from a city council information session. And there are 2,889 parking spaces in downtown San Luis Obispo. So there are definitely spaces. It's just a matter of how to communicate to people how to get there. Downtown SLO is working with the city on launching a park and walk campaign, where we're encouraging people to park in the structures, where the first hour is free, and then get them out of their cars, out of the structures, and into the downtown. We also work with the RTA and the Slow City Bus to offer downtown access passes to all employees in the downtown corridor. So if you work in a downtown business, you can have a free bus pass, which is renewable every 90 days. And we hope that by incentivizing employees downtown to ride public transportation, ride their bikes, and walk in, we'll be freeing up public spaces for people who want to come and be customers in the businesses downtown.
Right. Interesting. So another point that they had, I guess they're concerned about the types of business. They think there are too many restaurants and bars. And so what are your thoughts on that? Well, you have no control on the types of business. As you said, it's a free market. Whomever can come in and pay the rent, they can open whatever business they want. And so do you guys have any kind of thoughts on that?
No, and that's a tricky question, because there are definitely restaurants and bars downtown. And that's been a part of our downtown since downtown started. So it's not a new issue, I think. We are a college community, and a lot of college students like to enjoy those activities. That's a part of our economy that we have to be honest about and embrace. One of our committees at Downtown SLO is actually a food and beverage and services committee, where we gather the managers of the restaurants and bars once a month to get together and talk about public safety issues in the area. They provide porta potties during large scale public events like St. Patrick's Day, graduation, Halloween, some of the pain spots. But having, you know, a nightlife is part of any vibrant economy in a city. So we would love to see more cultural institutions downtown. We have some wonderful treasures. We have the SLO Repertory Theater. We have the SLO Museum of Art. We have the Children's Museum, not necessarily nightlife, but certainly a cultural institution. There are churches that open their doors for concerts and other various arts and educational activities. So yes, I think there could definitely be a mix of activities that aren't focused on alcohol consumption and that sort of party atmosphere, but that's always going to be a part of what downtown San Luis Obispo is.
Another big thing is that they like to get away from chain stores and encourage locally made goods. Do you have any ideas on that?
I think that's part of a larger conversation. One of our board members tells a great story about the very first chain in San Luis Obispo being the Mission.
Right. That's funny.
We also had Woolworths. We've had JCPenney. There have always been chains in our downtown acting as kind of those anchor stores that help the other smaller mom and pop shops survive. We know that retail is changing. It's being completely disrupted from the inside out. And that's not a San Luis Obispo problem. That is a global issue. I see that there are great successes in a shop local movement that happens in our community because we are so passionate about all things local. There are artisan products. There are people who are really interesting makers. And there's a space for that kind of creativity and ingenuity in our marketplace. And it exists for sure. I think we see that actually every Thursday night at our farmers market. We have 150 booths of all kinds of anything you can possibly imagine. And you will see the Remax Realtor next to the atheist group, next to the Republicans, next to the Democrats, next to the churros, next to the burrito guy. It's a really interesting mix. And our vision as a downtown SLO organization is to have a healthy and vibrant economy. And that includes both the small shops and the larger chains in equal measure.
What do you spend your days on? What are your some major efforts right now? Because it sounds like, I think everyone is kind of working towards the same goal, maybe different approaches, but the goal is to, what is the goal?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we're in process of kind of evaluating that ourselves. The PBID that I described earlier is going to be a big game changer for our organization, and it's going to give us a chance to grow, because everybody sees the value of the services that could be possible in the downtown core, but the question is just how can we pay for them? I have great high hopes for the PBID passing and what it'll mean for our organization. We also are just really committed to providing a good and fun and healthy downtown experience, which sounds vague and broad because it is, right? We want downtown to be a place where everybody can appreciate it and have something to do that's fun, that's healthy, that occupies their time for several hours, where they can spend a little money and maybe learn something. We have some signs up in our window at 1135 Choro. And we have just some active verbs in there: shop, learn, dine, play, create, grow, explore. These are what we want people to do when they come downtown. Personally, I have a vision for a downtown that is definitely in alignment with some of the things in the downtown concept plan, which I encourage you to look at if you haven't seen it. We actually put that up in our window in our office, and every day we see people poking their fingers on it. We have to wipe off the fingerprints every day because they're looking at that and thinking about what's possible. I'd like to see more public art, more murals, more community space activations, maybe some more pop-up shops, and some more arts and entertainment, because that's where people get the most meaning, is when they're connecting with humans on the space where they can see the whites of each other's eyes.
How can you encourage pop-up shops in particular?
So I think one way that we can do that is provide property owners with resources to connect to the people who want to have that happen. So I brought up Farmers Market a few minutes ago. There are organizations that come to Farmers Market who would love to be in downtown. There are also vendors that apply to be at Farmers Market who are not eligible to participate because they don't have a storefront yet, but they might be at that sort of startup entrepreneurial phase where they would like to have, they'd like to give it a go, but they don't have the financial resources to commit to like a 3 to 5 year lease, for example, which is what a lot of property owners encourage. I'm not sure exactly how we're going to do that, but we're looking at how to do it. And some of our property owners downtown have been really innovative in their approaches. The Jamestown property, Court Street, has done a really good job of, they opened their doors for a pop-up from Arts Obispo. They had the Hub Gallery open. Now that space is the Slow Film Festival's office during the film festival month. And the Slow Museum of Art has also had a pop-up gallery that's been extraordinarily popular. It was in one space on Higuera, and now it's moving over to Monterey Street. Should open in April, I believe. So there are some examples that we can use as case studies. And I see our role at Downtown Slow as connecting the creative with the space.
Right. Okay. All right.
So facilitating that.
And let's go back to the downtown concept plan. So is this something that has already been passed? Is it in the planning stages? What is it?
So the downtown concept plan is revisited, I believe, every 15 years. And it was passed as a concept, if you could pass a concept. It was created, let's say, in 2017. And it was a long process that was city-driven. There were a core group of, I believe, about 10 to 12 people who are planners, architects, and futurists who are in that space, who got together and talked about what they want downtown to look like. It is a concept. It's not a doing, right? So it doesn't have resources attached to it, but it includes some really cool things like closing down a leg of Monterey so that it would be just a pedestrian thoroughfare. It includes putting a roundabout at the base of Higuera where the 101 comes into town. So repurposing where there's a gas station right now, that would become then a sort of a plaza for public art. That's emulating more of a European city model, right? Like they do that in Madrid and in Vienna. I have iterations in our office of previous concept plans for downtown. And what's been really interesting to me is to look at what did happen in previous concept plans and also what didn't, right? Because trends come and go. Mm-hmm. And there are sometimes, I look back at the last concept plan, I think, wow, I'm really glad we didn't do that particular thing. But look, we did accomplish this.
So that would have been in the early 2000s?
Yes.
So they had some different ideas.
Yeah. And it's a City of San Luis Obispo driven program. But if you look it up, it's on their website. The plan itself has a map that has some really interesting illustrations on it. And that's the one that we have in our window at 1135 Choro. But there's also, in addition to that, I think it's like a 109-page document that goes into really excruciating or wonderful detail, depending on your perspective.
Right. Okay.
I think I just want to say that there are many, many different groups of people who come together in downtown every single day, with the city seat being in downtown and the county seat. We estimate that there are about 80,000 people coming into downtown every single day. And that builds an incredible amount of energy and momentum. We're committed to what's going to happen with these new hotels opening. There are going to be 250 hotel rooms added as inventory into the downtown, which we assume that not just one person per hotel room, but that'll be several hundred people who will be coming here, and they're going to want to have an experience. And we're hoping that we can provide the best experience possible for those people.
Well, Bettina, thank you for coming and speaking with me about this.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Bettina Swigger, CEO of Downtown Slow. To hear more of this week's Issues and Ideas, KCBX's weekly current affairs show focused on the Central Coast, visit www.kcbx.org. With KCBX News, I'm Greta Mart.